in regard to holiness and sin, how that nature works. And you notice the sentence in Romans 7 again, that sin might appear exceedingly sinful. And the whole gist of Romans 7, the whole gist of it, the battle is not without, it is within. It's not somebody on your outside. It's from within. From within. If Satan himself or all the worst kind of sins were to show up at your door, if inside you there is no drawing to it, it's impossible for Satan to come against you. Your greatest enemy is not Satan. It's not even the world. The greatest enemy is yourself. It's you yourself. Because the devil has been defeated. And in this earth, to wrestle against, to allow holiness to come forth, we need to understand there is the world, the flesh, and the devil. But if you eliminate the flesh, the world and the devil has no power over you. The devil and the world has only power if you are magnetically drawn to it. That is why Jesus, when he walked in John chapter 14 verse 30, he says, the prince of this world will come, but he has nothing in me. Look at his statement. John 14 verse 30. He has nothing in me. There's not a single fiber in his spirit, soul and body that is attracted to the devil or the world. That's why Jesus could walk in holiness. So it has to be from inside that we fall. In the book of James, it confirms this word that we are bringing forth. In the book of James, it tells us, in summary, how sin works. James chapter 1, it says, in verse 13 to 15, James 1, 13 to 15, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings death. Now, if you want to take care of your garden, you don't get at the weeds when the weeds have become too much. Yes.
But there is a sin not leading to
death. That one is all included under the sin too. That, yes, under sin.
So
that
one is leading to death.
It's leading to eternal death. When he says, he just brought out a statement, there is a sin not unto death and a sin unto death. If you check the context of 1 John, it's referring to eternal death. So that is why Christians are in between. See, not every sin is going to cost you your salvation. Remember that. As a Christian, it doesn't mean that the moment you sin, you lose your salvation. So you don't lose your eternal life, but you do lose your rewards, which is a lot in heaven. In heaven. And there is a sin unto death, which means when you cross the point, you entirely lose everything, including salvation, which is found in Hebrews 6. That's a sin unto eternal death. So all sin, however, does have the element of destruction and death. And the Bible tells us here that in verse 15, it starts with when you have a garden and you need to get rid of the weeds. You do not just get rid of your weeds by cutting the top of the weeds. You get the weeds by getting rid of the roots. and you try to prevent seeds from falling, the wheat seeds from falling into the garden. Right? We're not that much good at gardening, but my neighbor is a man named Luke, and he's a former army man, and we used to chat once in a while. He keeps a very nice garden. And sometimes I'm out in the garden talking with him, and he tells me, I said, your grass looks nice. And he tells me how he has to maintain his grass. He says he has to keep all these wheat seeds from coming, so he builds his wall. So that when the wind blows, it doesn't get into his grass. And all these things that he does. And so you have to pull it up by the roots. You have to prevent wrong seeds from falling into that place. And it takes time to maintain a good garden. Good gardens don't come by accident. No, if you neglect it for a year, it doesn't look like a garden anymore. Looks like a jungle, mini jungle. Weeds grow all over the place. The source of all sin is given to us in verse 15. Desire. See, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then when sin reaches fullness, it produces death. Sometimes it produces physical death without spiritual death. Sometimes it produces both physical and spiritual death. That's in line with what statement has been made. Consequences. Now, if we know it, the way to treat it is deal it a blow right where the desire is. Correct? Right where the desire is. And that is from within. Something from within us would have to be dealt with, would have to be changed. Don't worry about the devil. You have more authority over the devil than you realize. Let me give you a few snippets of scripture that just show for your authority. In the same book of James, chapter 4, it tells us here in verse 7, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's not talking to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, or great leaders. He's talking to every single Christian. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, the word flee in the Greek is a very powerful word. It didn't just say resist the devil and he will slowly draw away from you. It didn't say resist the devil and he will just pass you by. No! When you resist the devil, it says he will flee. And in some translation, it says he will flee in terror from you. Now, you know the devil likes to terrify people. And all the monsters they draw in all these movies are trying to make the devil and ghouls and all the demons look horrifying. They try to scare people, scare the wits out of people. What fun we have to terrify the devil. See, the only way he flees, he's not just walking away from you. He is fleeing. In other words, you just made the devil scared. So you go, boo, and the devil, ah! There are enough scriptures to tell us we have authority over the devil. You don't have to be afraid of the devil, but the devil is worried because he's wondering whether you're one of those who know that verse. Because you can make, let me emphasize again, you can make the devil afraid of you through Jesus Christ. So every morning when you get up, the devil says, oh dear, he's awake again. We have more authority. Now, why doesn't that authority work then in the body of Christ? Because you must have John 14 verse 30. The devil must have nothing in you. Now, he's just looking for a place. In the book of Ephesians 4, Paul says, do not give place to the devil. Don't give him any room inside. The world will also lose its attraction if there is nothing in you that responds. You see, our disadvantage is when you are losing the battle from inside, you will lose it from outside. But if you have, that's what the Bible says, it's far better for a man to conquer his temper than to conquer a city. Because when you have conquered your own temper, you have conquered a city. So the battles are raging inside. If we could conquer from the inside, you will be fearless before the world and the devil. That's the flesh, the world and the devil. Now when you deal with the flesh, the world and the devil, immediately becomes a simple matter to deal with. It's the flesh. Your greatest enemy is you. Your own self. Our unrenewed self. Our things within us that yield to the enemy. Now the yielding process is where the wrong desires come. There's a part of us that is a sin nature that lies in our physical body in its imperfect state. And then there's a part that lies in our spirit man that is a new nature. And the two are doing battle every day. And the only way you and I can win is for us to be filled with the Word. Because the Word will sanctify you and I. That you are sanctified, we are sanctified through the truth. His Word is truth. In other words, His Word that is in the process of becoming truth sanctifies us. The less Word you have, the less sanctified you are. The more Word you have, the more sanctified you are. I have made your Christian life very, very simple. It's a matter of spending time in the Word. If you don't believe me, do this. Take 3 months off and don't read anything except the Word of God out loud. Don't do anything else. All your free time, just worship God, pray, and read the Word out loud to yourself. And see whether at the end of 3 months, it's easy to sin or not. You'll find it difficult. Because the Word fills you so much, and in other types of desire come forth. Desires for God, desires for hunger for God. The new spiritual desires overwhelm the old desires. And the more you get into the Word, sin becomes exceedingly sinful. Sin smells like sin the way it should. And the devil, you can recognize him. It's from our inside that we overcome. From our inside. And that's what God is bringing us to. The Word is truth. So let the Word rise within us day by day. It is a daily process. So the Bible says, meditate upon the Word. Christian life is not as complicated as people make it. Yes. Yes, amen. It's not like we got to get some enormous truth or revelation of God. It's not. You have in your hands the Word. This Word just needs to become truth to you and I. When you read the Bible, you don't understand everything. But the more you read it, the more you saturate yourself with it, more of it can be translated into truth in your life. And it removes all those wrong desires out of you. And the more you spend time with the Word, and I'm talking from experience, I spent 1 year after I graduated from the Baptist Seminary, I was struggling to grow in the Spirit, struggling in the ministry. And God gave me a vision of my spirit man, and I found that I didn't have much power against the enemy. I saw demons out there, I just didn't seem to be able to get through. And when I saw that, I said, God, you got to teach me how to feed my spirit man. And God showed me the truth of meditation on the Word. And for one entire year, I spend 6 to 8 hours on the Word. Some of you have seen the green meditation food, God's meditation food. That's a tiny 1% extract of all the meditations that I did. Spend one entire year on the Word. I didn't see TV, didn't hear radio, didn't read any books except the Word. Just for 1 year because I was desperate for God by that time. Something happened during that 1 year. I can't exactly pick a day. But somewhere in between the 6 to 9 month period, after spending 6 to 8 hours on the Word,